Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This shiur is dedicated to the memory of my grandmother, Rachel Bad Yitzchak Halevi, whose yahrzeit is, God willing, this Friday. Last week, at the end of the shiur, I believe Alex asked, well, how long do you have to wait before you begin Chazarat HaShatz? Namely, everyone said they're silent Amida, and now we're about to begin Chazarat HaShatz. And the question he asked is, how long do you have to wait? Because there's nothing more annoying, in my opinion, in davening than that particular part of davening. Namely, that particular part of davening happens to be one where you could have eight people waiting around doing nothing as you wait for the ninth. And the question is it necessary or is it just annoying? So let's see today how necessary it is. And this shiur connects to last week and next week in the sense of if you remember two words, you'll remember the entire shiur. And the two words I want you to remember is presence and participation. So once again, the shiur today, dedicated to the memory of my grandmother, Rachel Bad Yitzchak Halevi, is going to be talking about how long do you have to wait between the silent Amida and the Chazarat HaShatz. And if you remember two words, presence and participation, you remember the entire shiur. So let's begin.
Just a quick question before you start. Is this similar to the idea of waiting for a Kaddish?
No. I think it's even more severe. Waiting for Kaddish is less severe. Okay, let's begin. This entire shiur begins in an interesting Gemara in Masechet Brachot on the screen. D'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Afal pi she'amru katan ha-mutal ba'arisa, ein mizamnim alav, so we were taught in kindergarten that only bar mitzvah boys are counted for a minyan. Once you're 13, you're counted for a minyan until you die. However, if you're under 13, you're not counted for a minyan. Says the Gemara, that's true with regard to zimun, but it's not true with regard to minyan. Namely, if you have nine people plus a baby in a carriage, literally, that's what the Gemara says, katan hamutal ba'arisa, that baby is counted as the 10th, not the 9th and the 10th, but the 10th. As we come to the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, in the 16th century, brings two dayot if this Gemara is paskin lahalacha. In the purple it says, V'yesh metirin, lomar davar shebikdusha b'tish'a b'tziruf katan, shehu yoter miben sheish v'yodea l'mi mitpalilin. So while the Gemara talked about a baby in a carriage, the Shulchan Aruch makes it a bit more chamor and says it has to be someone that's a kid, not a baby, has to be more than six, and has to know that you're davening to Hashem. If you have those things, then some allow to mitzaref this under bar mitzvah boy to become part of the minyan. And indeed, the Rama says, Yeshno agin lahakel b'sha'at hadchak. We don't do this on a regular basis, but b'sha'at hadchak, you're davening in one of your backyards, you're davening in one of your courtyards, you're davening in one of your parking lots, and indeed, you only have nine people plus someone under bar mitzvah. I believe that's a sha'at hadchak that even the Rama would allow you to take that person and say, okay, we have nine above bar mitzvah plus one under. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch in the orange, and says, "V'lo nirin divrehen l'gdolei aposkim." You should know this is not a unanimous point of view. This is something that is in contention, and therefore, in a general world of regular minyanim, we don't go ahead and make a minyan based on nine plus a katan. But if you're on vacation for a week and that's all you got, or during this terrible pandemic, sometimes you have no choice, and if you have no choice, that's exactly what I believe you should do. Now, what do we learn from this to our particular subject of the shiur? We learn from this something very fundamental, and that is that when you talk about the situation of Chazarat HaShatz, it doesn't seem to be that you actually need to have 10 people above bar mitzvah actively listening and saying amen, simply because you can even have 9 plus an under bar mitzvah boy. So if you actually have 10, and one is still in his Amidah, or two are in the Amidah, doesn't seem to be the end of the world. It must be better than having 9 and a under bar mitzvah boy. Yes, Bruce.
Is this an emergency case where you're not going to get the 10, so you count the 9 and the minor? Or if you're going to get the 10th, it's just a matter of a few more minutes, that you should therefore wait for the 10th, because you have him in the room. It's just a matter of waiting until he reaches your place in davening.
So I think that the Ramah, indeed here, says, B'sha'at atchak, we should do this. So therefore, yeah, if you can wait a few minutes, why not? But if it's more than a few minutes, or the minion's not going to happen, or if the minion's going to disband, then obviously you can rely on this opinion. The minion I davened in this morning, we almost relied on this opinion. And then a nice boy who, above bar mitzvah, already davened, was able to join us until he had to go to school. But obviously this shouldn't be the way that we make minyanim. But for me this morning, what's important is, when you talk about chazarat hashatz, remember this, because when on chazarat hashatz, you want 9 people answering and the chazan davening, it seems to be here, maybe it's not even necessary to have so many people, because even a baby in a carriage, or if you take the Shulchan Aruch, even a 6-year-old would be good enough. So, let's go to our particular topic and see. As I said earlier, the most important part of remembering this year is presence versus participation. So here you have a minyan that happened this week in Toronto and Thornhill in Ontario. I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's amazing in terms of their dedication to minyan. I'm not so sure about their kavana in such situations, but this happened this week. So when they come to minyan, always remember the basic fundamental chakira, or the basic fundamental deliberation. Is it presence or active participation? The Gemara in Brachot that we saw last week said, why do you daven in a minyan? Because as we say at Mincha on Shabbos, Vanit filati lacha Hashem eight ratzon, when is it an eight ratzon, a good time of willingness of God to listen to our prayers? Says the Gemara, b'sha'a shahatzibur mitpalilin, at a time in which the minyan davens. That's why we go to the minyan, because that's when God listens to our prayers. On the other hand, in the purple, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, anytime you have 10 people, the Shekhinah is there. The difference between these two Gemaras is very simple. The purple Gemara says, you have 10 people, you have the Shekhinah. What are they doing? I don't know what they're doing. One guy's davening, one guy's on his phone, one guy's looking, reading the paper. You have 10 Jews, you got the Shekhinah. You're not talking to the wall. That's called presence. Participation is the orange. Namely, you need to have b'sha'a shahatzibor mitpalelin. You have to have people davening. It's not enough to have people just standing there. You have to have them davening. And this is going to be a fundamental issue regarding all questions of minyan. Because if all you need is presence, good enough to have presence. You don't need people answering amen. You need to have 10 people in the room. But if you need participation, then it's not enough to have 10 people. They have to daven. They have to know who they're davening to. They have to actively participate in the minyan. So remember these two words, presence versus participation. And now we can go into our question of chazarat hashatz. So what we said until now is that even an under bar mitzvah boy can be number 10, which seems to indicate that a minyan is more about presence, not so much participation. But because we have that in mind, let's talk about chazarat hashatz. Is it presence or is it participation? Someone had a question?
Yeah, is there some sort of issue about the kavod, kavod lebrachot v'atala, in terms of answering during chazarat hashatz? If you have 9 people, if you have less than 9 people answering them, would that be a problem?
Yeah, we're going to see it in a moment. Absolutely. You're remembering the Shulchan Aruch well. So let's see, is it presence or participation? The first point of view is, presence is good enough. This point of view, that presence is good enough, comes from the Haga'ot Maimoniot. The Haga'ot Maimoniot was a very interesting attempt. As you know, the Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah, his 14 books of Halacha, and he said, all you need in your Jewish library is a Tanakh and my 14 books. That would be good enough. I have summarized all the oral Torah for you in my 14 books. Very nice to say, it didn't exactly happen. So, on the Rambam were endless perushim, and one of them is the Haga'ot Maimoniot, Rav Meir by Yerkutiel HaKohen from Rotenberg. He functioned from 1260 to 1293. He was the Talmid Muvhak of the Maharam Mirutenberg, such a good Talmid that when the Maharam was taken into prison so that the Jewish community would ransom him and didn't, he went in to learn with him every day. Meaning his jailers were nice people. All they wanted was the money. So his Talmidim came every day and they heard a shir. And then they went home and he stayed in jail. So one of the people that were so devoted to him was the Agaot Maimoniot, Rav Meir bar Rav Yekuta El HaKohen. Unfortunately, the Agaot Maimoniot was killed al Kiddush Hashem in the praot called the Raid Falish Praot at that time. And therefore, when we learn him, we should remember his memory and remember he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. So what did the Agaot Maimoniot do to the Rambam? He opened the Rambam and saw the Rambam paskins like the Svardim. So he did us a great favor, and he wrote, here's the Ashkenazic psak halacha on these issues. That's what the Haga'ot Maimoniot did. So we're going to see the Rambam in a moment, and you'll understand why the Haga'ot Maimoniot disagrees with the Rambam. He says the Ashkenazim on this issue say as follows, Katav Mori Rabbeinu, my great Rebbe, the Maharam Mirutenberg, said that even if you have 10 people who daven the silent Amida, and you have 9 people who are ready for the Chazarat Hashatz, and number 10 is still davening his silent Amida. So if you would ask me, I would say, tell the 10th person to be a mensch, and hurry up! 9 people are waiting for him. But he doesn't get the hint, says the Haga'ot Maimoniot, Kevan shehu bebeit ha-kneset imahen, mitzdarif imahen, da'al kol be'asara shechin tashare. All you need is presence. And if you have 10 people in the room, you don't need to have 9 people answering Amen to one Chazin davening. All you need is presence. So you have 8 people answering Amen. You have one person still in his Amida. You have a Chazin who begins the Chazarat Hashatz, and that's good enough. All you need is presence of 10. And it's not even any worse then an under bar mitzvah boy. Here you have everyone above bar mitzvah, so all you need is presence. The Beit Yosef, years later, we're talking about the 16th...
Chabad situation?
Pardon?
Only, is the idea of just being present in the room, is that a big Chabad situation? You know that several guys are reading the newspapers, sitting around.
Yeah.
So is it just Bidi Avad, or you could actually do this little chakila?
Doesn't say anything about Bidi Avad. I don't see anything about Bidi Avad. And just to make sure that I make it clear, this is not just the Ashkenazic point of view of the Maharam through his student, the Haga'ot Maimoniot. The Beit Yosef quotes it from his Rebbe, Moreinu Arav Yaakov Beirav. That was the Beit Yosef's Rebbe, who says, Kivan de'ika asara de'beit kedusha ninhu, shapir shaya shchinta aleyu. All you need is 10 people in the room, it's good enough. And he brings it from the Agur, and from the Maharil. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah summarizes it in one concise sentence. The kol asara shehem gdolim, shchinta sharei b'neihem. So, to make a long story short, according to this point of view, all you need is presence. You don't need active participation. But there's a second point of view, and you can guess it. What's the second point of view? Presence is not good enough. What do you need?
Participation.
Exactly. You need participation. It's not good enough to be in the room. You need to raise your hand. You need to ask questions. You need to disagree with the teacher. As my Rebbe Rav Amital said, if I give a shir and everyone just says, that means they can care less. If they don't disagree with me, it means they can care less. So, if you're in the room and you care, you answer Amen. If you don't care, you don't answer Amen. If you have a problem with one of the brachot, you mention it. So indeed, the second point of view, as you can see on the screen, is a bit different. And that is the Rambam. Now you know why the Haga'ot Maimoniot said this is not the Ashkenazic psak, because the Rambam wrote something else. What did the Rambam do? And everybody, I'm sure, knows the story or parts of it, so let's make it clear. In the responsum of the Rambam, Shut HaRambam, the Rambam wrote that our minhag, no more, no less, minhag, shebitfilat shacharit u'musaf b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim, during Shabbos and Yontiv, I don't do Chazarat Hashatz. Everybody davens with the Chazan. And the same thing at Mincha during the week, or on Shabbos when it's too close to Shkia. The Rambam says, everyone says word for word with the Chazan. And this is how it works. The Chazan says it out loud. He says the entire davening out loud, whoever doesn't know how to daven listens and says amen. The habaki, and those that know how to daven, yitpalel atzmo im shliach hatzibor mila b'mila. And those that know how to daven will daven with the shliach tzibor mila b'mila. What does that mean, mila b'mila? No? What does it mean? Word for word. Word for word. And he says, this is our minag. And why did I disregard Chazarat Hashatz? Why in my shul I don't have a silent amida with a chazan's repetition? Sha'anashim kulam b'sha'at filat shliach tzibur einam mashkichim l'mashehu omer. Unfortunately, in my davening, people have a Chazarat Hashatz and have no idea what the Chazan's saying. What do they do during Chazarat Hashatz? Misichin zeim ze, v'yotzim achutza, v'hu mevarech bracha levatala kimat. They go ahead and they talk and they can care less what the Chazan's saying. The Chazan's can say, Baruch Atah Hashem, drop dead. Baruch Atah Hashem, you should all die a terrible death. And everyone would say amen, because they think that's part of davening. And he says, it's a terrible situation. It's a bracha levatala. The Chazan's making a bracha, and no one's listening. It's like someone said Kiddush and everyone's talking during your Kiddush. And therefore, he did what he did. He got rid of Chazarat Hashatz. Everyone says together with the Chazan. Now, when you get to the Mishnah Torah, that's not what the Rambam wrote. The Rambam says the normative halacha is Tfilat Tzibur Yiyeh Echad Mipalel Bekol Ram VeHakol Shomim. One person davens out loud and everybody listens to his davening and says Amen. But it's the same principle. And that is, it's not enough to be in the room. What do you need to do? You need to have active participation. You need to listen. And you need to answer amen. It's not enough. Not enough. Just to be in the room. And therefore, the Rosh comes along and says as follows. You know, the Rosh was not an Ashkenazic rabbi. He wasn't a Sephardic rabbi. He was both. He started his life in Ashkenaz. He was a classmate of the Haga'ot Maimoniot. When they got his Rebbe, he understood he's next on the list. Him and his Chavrusa, the Mordechai, was also killed at Kiddush Hashem. And he ran away to Spain. So he became a Sephardic rabbi. So you understand he's a crossbreed. So the Shu'at HaRosh says, V'achazan mitpalel, v'akahal yesh lel nishtoku lechaven lebirkat hachazan v'lomar amen. וכשאין תשעה בבית הכנסת המכוונים לברכת שליח ציבור, קרובו בעיניי שברכת שליח ציבור לבטלה. So says the Ram, the Rosh, that when you daven in a shul, and you're davening in a shul, that there's a Chazarat Hashatz, and there isn't nine people listening to the Chazarat Hashatz and answering Amen, it's very close to be a bracha levatala. So, we have two points of view this morning. The first point of view is, good enough to have 10 people in the room. They listen, they don't listen, they say amen, they don't say amen. The Shekhinah is there. The second point of view is not enough. You need to have active participation of 9 people in the room, listening to one chazan. If you don't, it's karov, very close to be bracha levatala. Why isn't it a real bracha levatala? Why is it only close to being a bracha levatala? Because bracha levatala means what?
A bracha without any reason.
Correct. Here there's a good reason. You're supposed to say Chazarat Hashatz. However, the people are not behaving like they should. So it's karov to bracha levatala. So think in your mind you're saying Kiddush on a Friday night, and people aren't listening to the Kiddush. That's karov levacha levatala, but it's not a bracha levatala because you're supposed to say Kiddush Friday night. The question is, are they going ahead and fulfilling their obligation? But in Chazarat Hashatz, it's not based on, I say my Kiddush, you listen, if you don't feel like listening, no problem. It's based on chazin, davening, people listening and saying amen. So he says, karov adavar liot bracha levatala. So either we need participation, and therefore you need to wait for the 9 people with one chazan, or it's good enough to have presence, and therefore you don't need to wait at all. Okay, we'll go with Arthur and then Bruce.
What about Berhu Bruch Shemo? You know, some people seem to say it, some people don't say it. Some people say you can't say it if he starts the next bracha. So you have a very limited amount of time. What's the status? How does that affect the status of the tefillah?
So Berhu Bruch Shemo has two problems to it. Number one, a general problem that the Gra brought up. That is that you're sort of giving God a compliment. And he says that's a bad idea. Even though in the Beis HaMikdash we have a precedent, every time they said God's real name, they used to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed, that you all know from Yom Kippur. He said, Bachur Baruch Shem, it's like giving God a compliment. We don't do that. The second issue is that even if you say it's not a problem in general, when you have to yotze your bracha, if you say Bachur Baruch Shem, it could be a hefsek. And therefore you shouldn't say it if you have to be yotze. So therefore, as you know, in a shul before the bracha on Megillah, or the bracha of Shofar, there's usually an announcement that says, don't say Bachur Baruch Shemo. So when it comes to Chazarat HaShatz, the question is, do I have to be Yotze? I already davened. On the other hand, maybe the Chazarat HaShatz is not a personal davening, it's a public davening with one Chazan representing, so maybe I do have to be Yotze. So that's the, I would say, very interesting debate on Chazarat HaShatz. And the Svardim, as you know, say Bachur Baruch Shemo, even if they have to be Yotze. So from this perspective, I believe we have a sort of a compromise in Ashkenazic shuls. When it's a bona fide, I have to be Yotze, we don't say Bachur Baruch Shemo. Chazarat HaShatz, not sure, I already davened, so therefore we do say it. So that's the Bachur Baruch Shemo issue. I personally don't say it. I only say Amen. I believe that you have to be Yotze, we should be Machmir, but I can definitely understand the other point of view, that you've already davened, so there's nothing to be Yotze. Yes, Bruce.
If the Chazar HaShatz is for a separate davening experience, so to speak, I can see why presence might be enough. But if the purpose is because other people don't know how to daven and you're copying them in, but then they don't participate, then there's no purpose to that. So I wonder if the essence of this question is revolving, what is the purpose of Chazar HaShatz?
Yeah, it could very well be. What is the purpose of Chazar HaShatz? Is it one public amida that the Chazan represents us before God? Or is it just Lohotzi et Misha Eino Baki, and I've already davened, I'm Baki? That's indeed the question. But in this particular shir, I'm saying, forget about what the Chazarat HaShatz is from our perspective. Do we need to participate, or is it good enough to be in the room? All right, so let's see how this is Paskin LaHalacha. As we get to the Halacha, we have three points of view. Now, if you look at the screen, you're going to see something very strange. You're going to say, wow, this Grunstein's an idiot. He put the same picture twice. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he put the same picture twice? Answer?
It's different colors.
No, it isn't.
I'm colorblind. It looks good.
The Shulchan Aruch seems to be contradicting himself. When it comes to Chazarat HaShatz in the purple, he's very explicit. When the Chazan begins his Chazarat HaShatz, HaKahal, the congregation, Yesh Lahem Lishtok, Ulechavein, Lebirkot, Shemivarech HaChazan, V'la'anot Amen. The people have to be quiet, have to listen and say Amen. V'im ein tish'a mechavnim lebirkotav, if there isn't nine people listening to one Chazan, Karov liyot birkotav levatala. So he paskins like the Rambam in the Rosh, that you need to have nine people listening, and therefore after the Amida, annoying, you have to wait and wait and wait till you got nine plus Chazin, and then you begin. That's in the purple. Why do I say that's in the purple? Because the same Rav Yosef Karo, whose alleged picture is on the screen, in the other part of the Shulchan Aruch says, V'imitchil achad me'asara li'palel levado, ve'ino yachol la'anot imahem, someone's davening his silent Amida, and he can't say Amen. Oshuhu Yashen. Forget about he's in a silent Amida. He's so silent that he's in shul and he fell asleep. Have you ever seen such a thing? People fall asleep in shul. Forget about Kedushat Beit HaKnesset. I've seen it in shiurim. I've seen it in shuls. I've seen it in many different situations. People are always sleep deprived. And anytime they can make up sleep, they do. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're in the middle of your silent Amida and you can't say Amen, or you're sleeping, you don't even know what's flying, but you're in the room. You're part of the minion. Says the Mishnah Berurah, name of the Chayei Adam. The Yesh Machmirim Yoter Be'echad. This is only if you're number 10. Not one chazan and nine people sleeping, but eight people active, one person sleeping and one chazan. Fine. But according to this, in our Chazarat Hashat scenario, if you have one person that didn't finish his Amidah, forget about it. He's in the room, good enough. After all, if he's sleeping, it's good enough. Kal v'chomer, if he's wide awake, he just can't say Amen because he's in the middle of his silent Amidah. And just because you think I'm crazy, let's see the Chafetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir from Radin, whose real picture is here on the screen. He says in the name of the Eliyahu Rabba, Hu adin yoter me'echad. You don't even need to have just one who can't answer Amen. You can have three. Ubilvad, she'isha'er rubam, she'en mipalim shmona esrei. So what do you do after the silent Amidah? You count. Do we have a majority of a minion that's finished? Majority of the minion makes sense. The majority's finished. Start davening. It makes perfect sense. So if the chazan is too fast, he waits for the majority. Once you have six plus chazan, or you even have chazan plus one, excuse me, chazan plus five, so six altogether, you can start your chazarat hashatz. Presence is good enough. So we have the Shulchan Aruch contradicting himself, at least at the level of one. You have the Mishnah Berurah who says presence is good enough. You can even have four people who have not finished their Amidah, but you still have a Shulchan Aruch that says, no, you need to have nine plus chazin. That's the only way to go. So we have this contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. We also have, as you could see, three points of view which go back to our basic question. If it's only presence, then you have the presence in the room. Who cares if they can answer Amen or not? But if it's participation, then you need to have nine people answering Amen. And the whole question of presence is how much presence? Does presence mean nine people, eight people? Does it mean six people? The bottom line is presence is good enough. Now, why is this important? Because even though the Shulchan Aruch says, with regard to Chazarat Hashatz, very explicitly, you need to have nine answering Amen plus one. Even though he says that, I will submit that when and if it's impossible, like in the cold weather we're in, there is a Mishnah Berurah. There is a Shulchan Aruch. If you press for time, you don't have to always go lechumra and say, no, we only have our Shulchan Aruch. Part of halacha is to have your eyes open to the entire spectrum of Jewish law, not just to one particular line of Jewish law. I think I told you the story many times of me being on a plane. The plane's landing. The gentleman next to me woke up during the landing, puts on his tallis and tefillin, stands up for the Amidah. They all tell him to sit down. We're landing. He refuses to budge. When he comes to sit down, I look at him like this. He says to me, what do you mean? The Shulchan Aruch says that even if a snake is on your heel, you can't move during the silent Amidah. I said, yeah, that's one line in the Shulchan Aruch. In the next chapter, it says that if you're in a car and it's time to daven, you daven sitting down. He said, it doesn't say that. I said, it does. And I take out my phone and I want to show it to him. What does he say? I don't look at smartphones. Usher. I don't look at smartphones. I'm too frum. I said, that's why you remain an ignoramus, because you don't look at smartphones. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch is not one line. There's other lines in the Shulchan Aruch. Make a long story short, gentlemen. When you're in a minyan, I always say, yeah, if there's time, wait for nine people. Shulchan Aruch in the purple. But if there isn't time, and you're pressed for time, and it's cold, and there's corona, there are other points of view. Presence versus participation. Now, why would the Shulchan Aruch say that in general presence is okay, but it seems to seem that he implicates that with regard to Chazarat Hashatz, you need participation? Why is Chazarat Hashatz different from all the rest of davening? So Kaddish, good enough to have people in the room. Kriyas HaTorah, good enough people in the room. Chazarat Hashatz, you need to have nine people answering Amen. Why is Chazarat Hashatz different from all the rest of davening? Bruce, you had a comment.
Yeah, well, I just answered it, because I'm curious if regarding Megillah reading or Shofar, is it all, which rule applies in all those other cases where I thought you need 10, but maybe not?
So there, I don't know of any Shulchan Aruch that says you have to answer, have nine people answer Amen. There it's good enough to have presence. But somehow, with regard to Chazarat HaShatz, it's different. So let's see three points of view. Why is Chazarat HaShatz different in the eyes of the Shulchan Aruch? The first point of view, in the green, is someone that's Baruch Hashem alive and well, a big tzaddik who lives in Alon Shvut, Rav Elyakim Krumbein. He wrote an article about this particular issue, and he suggests the following. שיש שתי הלכות בחזרת השעת, שני גדרים שחכמים דרשו שיתקיים בו, תפילת הציבור ודברים שבקדושה. There's two things happening during חזרת השעת. When you have 10 people in the room, it's called a דבר שבקדושה, a holy act. The minute you have 10 people in a room, you elevate your davening, from just davening to דברים שבקדושה. And, in addition to which, if you have participation, not just presence, then it's a tefillat ha-tzibur. What's tefillat ha-tzibur? One chazen davening on behalf of us all. One public amida being brought before God. Such like, we've said it many times, what do we have in the Beis HaMikdash every day, in the morning and the evening? One korban brought on behalf of all the Jewish people. But that's only if all the Jewish people, so to speak, are part of it. They bring the machatzit shekel, and you take it from that fund. If they're not part of it, then quite frankly, it's not on behalf of all the Jewish people. So when you have only presence, it's a davar shebikdusha. But when you have participation, it's tefilat hatzibur. Therefore, Chazarat HaShatz is different. It's that one public amida being brought by one chazan on behalf of us all. And if you don't have it, all you have is presence, then you still have a davar shebikdusha. That's the point of view of Rav Krumbein. In the pink, the second point of view is the drisha. The drisha in his perush on the Shulchan Aruch says, Karav katav karov, aval lo mamash. The Shulchan Aruch was very explicit. He says, close, but not necessarily a bracha levatala. Why? Because, once again, the Drisha looked at a smartphone. You know, Shulchan Aruch, it's not just one line. There's another Shulchan Aruch. And this is what it is, and I present it to you in my language. You're in your backyard, Bruce, you have your minyan, and one guy says, I have to go to work. You're in the middle of Chazarat HaShatz. What do? You had 10 people. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. Oh, I love my forefathers, Elokei Avraham, oh, big outreacher. Yitzhak, more insular. Yaakov, oh, you know, he made the 12 tribes. I love him. Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Anara, oh, God is so great. You know who else is so great? My boss. Oh, my gosh, it's 9 o'clock. Bye. What do?
I think we were told if you started with 10, you could just continue.
Correct. You continue that part of davening if you started with 10. So says the Drisha, with due respect, how can it be you need 10 people during the Chazarat HaShatz to answer Amen? We have an explicit law. If you have 8 people in the room, it's good enough. Because 1-2 people left. So therefore he says it only looks like a bracha levatala, but it isn't really a bracha levatala. And he goes on to say, if you have some people sleeping, you have some people talking, it's not the end of the world. But indeed it looks like a bracha levatala. The third point of view is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi says he died at the beginning, end of the 1700s, or beginning of 1800s, I forget. The founder of the Chabad movement, in his Shulchan Aruch HaRav Ketzki's Chazarat HaShatz Nitkana Lom Rabba Asara, Ukeshein Tisha Mechuvanim Levir Kotav, Nirak Kibracha Levatala, says the Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, Chazarat HaShatz is different because the whole Takana was 9 people answering in one Chazan. If you don't have that, the whole thing is not worth it. So that's why Chazarat HaShatz would be different. Either because it's supposed to have 2 things, both the Shechina there, plus a tefillat hatzibur, and you don't have that if 9 people aren't participating. Or, like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, that was the whole takana. Or, quite frankly, it's no different, like the Drisha says. After all, if you have 8 people in the room, but you started with 10, it's fine. But, you know, it doesn't look good. Whatever it might be, I always say as follows. Chazarat HaShatz, if you have the time, wait. But if you don't have the time, you have what to rely on, that presence is good enough. True, you'll have, as Rav Krumbein says, only a Dvarim Shebikdusha, without a Tfilat HaTzibur, a holy act, albeit without the benefit of a Tfilat HaTzibur, but still it's something. Still it's something. So from this perspective, as you could see, I always paskin that it really depends on the situation. It really depends on the situation. And you have to be with your head screwed on correctly in order to see the situation. I'm not for disregarding the Shulchan Aruch on a regular basis, but definitely in certain situations you can. And indeed, this morning I was at a minyan where we were very pressed for time, so we started the Chazarat Hashat with eight people. Eight people. And we have what to rely on. And within the Chazarat Hashats, we have what to rely on. So once again, the basic question you always ask with regard to minyan is presence good enough or participation? For example, next week, we're going to deal with the question of the latecomer. What does the latecomer do when he comes to shul late? Once again, if it's just presence, he's there. If it's participation, he has to do everything to catch up to where everyone is. So, based on this...
Could you again explain why presence alone? I mean, the guy's in a coma, Alzheimer's, something. I mean, what is the ingredient here that allows his body to be there, just the body, if his mind is completely out of it?
So, I'm not so sure in a coma that would be allowed. We're talking about people who theoretically could be part of the minyan, and right now, today, they can't. Either because they're in the silent Amida, or because right now they're sleeping, but if you wake them up, they will be. A coma, I don't think he has the potential to necessarily just, oh, I'll answer, I mean, no problem. Now, why is presence good enough? My answer is, I really don't know. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, you can look it up after Shir, says that based on a series of psukim of Gzera Shavas, 10 people is good enough. Not only 10 people, 10 sinners. The Meraglim, they're our prototype for minyan. 10 people, prototype for minyan, Meraglim. Why? I don't know 10. I don't know why not 9, not 11. That's a Gzera Shava. That's the nature of a Gzera Shava. You really don't know the reasons. But the fact is, once you have 10 people above bar mitzvah in the room, or even 9 plus an under bar mitzvah, the Shekhinah's there. Why God decided that magic number? Have no idea. Really have no idea. I'm not one to understand the Gzera Shava. Anyway, gentlemen, to finish this shir today, I think it's extremely important to talk about another part of minyan. So we said that it could be presence, and therefore it's good enough to have 10 people in the room. You don't have to wait for someone to finish his Amida. You can have 8 people answering, according to the Mishnah Berurah, even 6 people answering, and genug. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, no, it needs participation. You need to have 9 people answering. And I always say, it really depends on the situation. To end this year, I want to talk about another element of minyan, and that is being a mensch. Have you heard of the Chacham Tzvi? The Chacham Tzvi, have you heard of him? Okay, nod your head so that even people that didn't hear from him look smart. Oh, of course, the Chacham Tzvi, we heard of him, yeah. Anyway, the Mishnah in Avot said, Ena Baishan Lamei, the person that's embarrassed doesn't learn. So if you didn't hear the Chacham Tzvi, you should say, I didn't hear from him, I want to learn who he is. Chacham Tzvi, his son was Rav Yaakov Emdin. The Chacham Tzvi, as you can hear from his name, where was he a rabbi? Svardik or Ashkenazi community?
Ashkenazi.
Really? You call your rabbi Chacham?
No, you're right.
Svardi. But he was an Ashkenazi. So they called him Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. And then every time he went into shul, his congregant said, oh, the Vuzvuz just came in, the Ashkenazi came in, you know? So the Rav Chacham Tzvi in Amsterdam was a rabbi of a Sephardic synagogue, albeit he was personally Ashkenazi. He's very much like, if you heard of Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, who today is the rabbi of another Amsterdam-based synagogue called the Spanish-Portuguese Synagogue in New York City. From the name Soloveitchik, you understand he did not come from the Sephardic world. And he is an amazing speaker, by the way. And he has a great sense of humor. For example, he was at the Republican convention. He gave the, what do you call it at the beginning? The prayer. In America, they do, you know, separation of church and state, but they can do a prayer at the beginning of a political meeting.
A convocation.
A convocation. right? In Israel, we don't have separation of church and state, but if God forbid someone at the beginning of a Knesset deliberation would say a prayer, they'd say, Hadatah, you're throwing religion down my throat. But in America, separation of church and state, no problem. So Rav Meir Soloveitchik was invited to give the opening prayer. And there's a reception beforehand of all the big people in the Republican movement, in the Republican Party, excuse me. And some gentleman, some lady goes up to him and says, good morning, my name is whatever. And he said, good morning, my name is Meir Soloveitchik. So she said, oh, really? I'd love to introduce my husband to you. She brings the husband over. He says, hi, I'm Meir Soloveitchik. And the fine husband says, nice to meet you. My name is X. What city are you a mayor of? You're all laughing. I didn't get to the joke yet. And Meir Soloveitchik, Rav Meir Soloveitchik said, and that, ladies and gentlemen, was the first time in my life that someone was interested in my first name more than my last name. So Rav Meir Soloveitchik, like the Chacham Tzvi, he's a rabbi of the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. So the Chacham Tzvi has a shaila. Have you ever heard of a golem? If you make a golem, like the Maharal Prague allegedly had, in the Gemara, Amorai made a golem. Can you make him 10th man for a minion or not? He has a whole tshuva. Can a golem be part of a minion? Many years later, the Chazon Ish in the 20th century said, I don't even understand the question. In order to be part of a minion, you need to be a mensch. You need to be a human being. Minions are made up of 10 human beings, not of 9 in a golem. Now, why do I say this is important? Because shuls can bring out the worst in people. The worst in people. And you all know this, anytime there's a chazir that doesn't daven right, sometimes you berate him when he's still in the room. Anytime you don't like the rabbi's speech, you berate the rabbi when he's still in the room. Well, I believe that in Minyanim you have to be a mensch. And the Hagaot Maimoniot, who we quoted at the beginning of the shir, says, Omnam, even though my opinion is it's good enough to have presence, Tov vehagun lahamtin lo achik mor tfilato, kedeshi yiske gam hu, v'yanei mohen. Says the Gaot Maimoniot, even though you don't have to, it's a good idea, if you have the time, to let everyone in the minyan have the benefit of a Chazarat HaShatz and of a Kaddish and answering Amen. Now, obviously, this is a good idea if it's not at the expense of others. Namely, you don't have 9 people ready. One person, he takes another 5 minutes to finish his silent Amida. We're talking about another 2 minutes. You can be a mensch and wait 2 minutes. It won't kill everyone. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this as well. Kesheachad mitpalel levado, nachon she'acherim yamtinu milomar kaddish ad sheyigmor. Kedei sheyizkeh gam hu. And once again, we have here with regard to being a mensch, is this a basis on presence or participation? So the Hagaot Maimoniot said presence is good enough, but it might be a good idea to wait a few minutes, to go ahead and to say, all right, let him get also a kaddish. It's another minute. Not another 5 minutes, another minute. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah has, as he always does, various points of view on this. On the one hand, he says in the blue column, if you can wake up the sleeping person, good idea, because he'll get the benefit of answering Amen. Now, I'm not so sure if the guy's sleeping, he wants to be waken up. But assuming he's a good frum Jew, maybe he wants the benefit of the minyan as well. But he says, sometimes it's good enough to have presence, but yesh chulkin, participation, the taz and the prach, he says, you can't have a sleeping person be the 10th for a minyan, you need to have participation. To make a long story short, I always say with regard to minyanim, presence versus participation. We should aim for participation, but presence might be our default if needed. As I heard from Rabbi Rosenzweig Sr., we aim for the ideal, but we deal with the real. In this week's Parsha, Yaakov dreams of angels, and a second later he has to deal with his very straight, honest father-in-law. So we aim for the ideal, but we have to deal with the real. And the real is in Minyanim, if you have the time, you should have 9 people answering the Chazarat HaShatz, and everything sweet and wonderful. But if you don't have the time, and people will get upset, and people will start looking at their watches, there is what to rely on just to have participation, and not necessarily presence. And this is extremely important, in my opinion, when we run a minyan. So God willing, we dealt today with one ramification of presence versus participation. We dealt with another aspect last week, and next week we'll deal with, God willing, the issue of the latecomer. Is it presence or participation? What does he or she do when they come to shul? And in that regard, Arthur, I thank you for the wonderful makorot you sent me. I looked through them. Some of them don't exist, literally don't exist. He quoted a Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata in chapter this, footnote this. I opened it up. The footnote doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. There's no footnote. I looked at another source. Doesn't exist. But some of them exist. And Baruch Hashem, there's 3 points of view on the question of last week, which will be very relevant to our question. If you're davening a different silent Amida than the congregation, you're not celebrating Yom Tov Sheni and they are. Are you part of the minyan or not? Is it presence or active participation? So you should know, it was very helpful, but some of those footnotes don't exist. I don't know how they print the book and not check it, but...
I don't know. I mean, I'm going from notes from 7 years ago, but...
No, not you. Not you. You refer to a book.
Yeah.
Your notes were fine. The book that you refer to has notes. That's what he referred to. So I opened... Right. I didn't have the book. I asked for a copy. I opened it up, and I started to look up the footnotes. So footnote number one existed. Footnote number two doesn't exist. It was like footnote number 69, and the footnotes conk out at number 60. It just doesn't exist. Then he quotes another footnote. I opened it up. It said exactly the opposite of what he implies. Exactly the opposite. I read it twice just because I thought maybe I'm nuts, but exactly the opposite. So some of them were very helpful, and we'll deal with it, God willing, next week. The latecomer. But all based... Once again, all you have to remember in this year, do you have to wait 9 people to answer amen? Is it presence? And then you don't have to wait? Or is it participation and you do have to wait? And next week will be another issue, same question. When it comes to minyan, that's the basic question. Presence or participation? Bros, you have your hand up so nice, yes.
So I've asked this question in various forms before. And I'm not asking this as a feminist, it's just an halakhic process. When women are not counted for any, minyan or mention, whatever the reason is it we learn it from other sources and the verses like the Meraglim are kind of an asmakta? Or no, those are the sources and we simply extrapolate that it must mean men only because no women were in the group. As opposed to, no, we learn it somewhere else. And we just bring this as a sort of a merely an asmakta to demonstrate why women are not counted among the 10, not people, and men.
I don't understand the 2 points of view. The bottom line is the Gemara brings 10 men and says 10 men over bar mitzvah. Is it an asmakta, not an asmakta? I don't know. But the law remains the same.
You go through the sources of halakhic development. So I'm curious where we learn out the halakha, or no? There is no learning out. That's the Masorah, and these are the Asmakta.
I really don't understand the 2 points of view on this, but the bottom line remains the same. It's 10 men over bar mitzvah.
No, but one is we know the halakha. We're finding a source to back it up because we know the halakha. I'm not sure from where. The other is we don't know the halakha. We're learning it out from sources. However, where the Gemara.
So, what's the difference? What's the ramification of those 2 points of view? One is we didn't know the halacha; we learned it from psukim. The other is we knew the halacha; we just used psukim to put our to hang up our coat on. What's the difference?
There's no nafkah in it. It's just
okay.
An interesting note on how halacha develops in this particular case.
I think it is an interesting note of how halacha develops, and in general, in midrashim of Chazal. I'm not talking about a medrash on the parsha. I'm talking about the drashot of Chazal. There is a point, there's 2 points of view. I heard this from Amnon Bazak when I took a course on this issue. Is it a midrash yotzer or a midrash mikayim? Is it you learn the psukim and you say, ooh, anu halacha, yotzer, creative, or mikayim, and we know the halacha. Now we just look for a pasuk to hang our coat on. If you want an illustration, it's like the rabbi's speech on Shabbos. Have you ever heard the rabbi's speech on Shabbos? There's two kinds of speeches. One is the rabbi says, I want to understand the psukim. And I went to work and I opened up the Tanakh and the Mefarshim and I came out with this. And the other is the rabbi says, I have a message to my community. And now I'll find the pasuk in the parsha that says what I want it to say. Those are the two kinds of speeches we have, correct? The same thing with regard to Chazal. However, there is no nafkamina because the bottom line remains the bottom line. Okay, gentlemen, everyone should have a good day. And Bezrat Hashem next week, the latecomer.
Thank you, Rabbi Greenstein.